0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The season may be over, but the talking points never stop in Scottish football. We will be here for you for the next 2 months from 6 until 7, taking your calls, giving you the latest what's happening at your club as well. The dust is still settling on that Scottish Cup final with Aberdeen beating Celtic at Hampden. The Rangers' managerial hunt continues and Livingston come out on top in a Dingwall thriller that sees them promoted and Ross County relegated. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Gordon Dyer.
Yeah, as you said there, Andrew, still plenty of talking points. You know, there's obviously clubs looking around who's going to be their manager. Rangers is a big talking point. You get Motherwell, you get Dundee, you get Partick Thistle, still all looking for someone to come in and take over. Motherwell signing a player today with no manager who left last week. So there's never a quiet moment, and you've got to say, well done, David Martindale. Once again, produces the goods, a terrific result, 2-0 down up at Dingwall, turned it around, and the fact that they're now in the Premier League, back up beside the big boys once again, and we look forward to it.
Yeah, as Gordon says, there is always something to talk about in Scottish football. I want to hear your thoughts on the Scottish Cup final. The dust is now settling. Celtic fans, how does that disappointment feel a couple of days on? Aberdeen fans, how are you feeling after a few days of celebrations? Has the hangover died down for you yet? Rangers fans, still no manager in place. Has been relatively quiet, really, over the past couple of days for Rangers fans. There was certainly the news last night. Carlo Ancelotti was doing his first Brazil press conference. He was saying that Davide Ancelotti, his son, did not travel with them because he's in talks with a European club. So interesting to see the developments on that. And to get your thoughts, 0141 951 1025, and what a game it was in Dingwall last night. A 4-2 win for Livingston in the end. They came from two goals down to win that game, clinched themselves promotion, and Ross County go in the other direction. Maybe you're a fan of Motherwell and you want to know what's happening with that managerial situation, especially signing a midfielder today and not having a manager after Michael Vimmer resigned, didn't he, last week. So 0141 951 1025, get your calls in and we are here for you. You don't even know where to start. That's how busy we are heading into the summer, Gordon.
Yeah, I think the two big clubs, Celtic and Rangers, obviously a disappointment that Celtic missed out in the treble for their supporters and everyone concerned there, but congratulations to Aberdeen. It wasn't pretty, but winning Scottish Cup finals, it's not all about terrific football. It was all about digging deep, got to penalty kicks, took their opportunity and went back up the road with the cup. But if you're Rangers fans just now, yeah, the takeover's getting nearer and nearer. We're hearing it every day. But surely, with the fact that, what is it, about 22nd, 21st of June, when Rangers will resume pre-season, you would think they'd need a manager in the building quickly.
Yeah, I wonder, because as you say, 23rd of June, it's not that far away. So Rangers fans, what are you making of what's going on at the moment? What are you making of maybe the lack of news over the past couple of days? Do you think that's going to ramp up towards the end of the week? Celtic fans want to hear from you. We got quite a bit of Aberdeen reaction on the show last night. Some, of course, joyous Aberdeen fans delighted with that result. We want to hear the Celtic perspective as well. How do you sum up the season after not clinching the treble? Because trebles had just become the norm for a lot of Celtic fans. I think many people just expected Celtic to go and win that game, didn't they, on Saturday? But it certainly wasn't a classic in terms of how Scottish Cup finals go, but very, very memorable for Aberdeen fans.
Yeah, of course. For Aberdeen, it was just the fact of getting their hands on that cup. It's been so long for them. Celtic were third and favourites, rightly so. And then when they went 1-0 up, Andrew, you're sitting in the stadium, you never really seen Aberdeen getting back into the game. And they needed a little bit of luck. They needed a break. They got it. Schmeichel handed it to them in a plate. Now, he'll probably never make that mistake again, but it got Aberdeen that bit of hope, that bit of life. I thought Aberdeen's substitutions were better than Celtic's. I know Forrest came on then, had to go off. And I think everybody was dying for James Forrest to go on the pitch, because in the last two games up at Pittodrie, he was excellent. Then against St Mirren, he gets that goal, keeps the record going. And he was in banging form. Unfortunately, he had to go back off. But I thought Aberdeen's substitutions were very good. You know, I thought they worked for them. They worked very hard. You could tell near the end of the extra time they were going to take their chance in penalty kicks. And when it happens, look, everybody will tell you it's a lottery. Somebody has to be a villain, somebody has to be a hero, and Aberdeen's goalkeeper was certainly the hero. And you know, everyone concerned, and you've got to say what a following Aberdeen had down there. They sold every single ticket. Look,
about 100,000 out for the parade as well, yeah, on Sunday.
And at the end of the day, it wasn't pretty. But I've got to say, I think the Aberdeen manager takes a lot of credit. He lost so many goals against Celtic in recent games. He changed his tactics. He went a three or a five with possession, a five at the back. He tried to make Celtic not play down the wide areas. A couple of times, Maeda got in behind the fullback, but really never tested Aberdeen's defence. But as I keep going back to it, they just plugged away, 1-0. You know, they kept themselves in the game, and they were just looking for that little bit of luck, something just to go their way in the cup final. And unfortunately for Schmeichel, he handed it to them in a plate.
Well, let's go straight to your calls. 01419511025. Tom is a Celtic fan up first in Helensburgh, a few days on from that final at Hampden. Tom, how are you feeling about it now?
Well, as I said to your correspondent earlier, you can't win everything. Celtic have had a brilliant season. They've had a fantastic season. Aberdeen started off roaring. They were brilliant at the start, and then they dipped big way, and then they won, come back and won the cup, and good luck to them, and I congratulate them on their success. I didn't think it was a great game of football, and Celtic can't win everything. You can't win every game, and you can't win every cup and every title. It would be nice to win the treble, but hey, say the V, come back next year and do even better.
How many of your fellow fans do you think kind of share that point of view, Tom, that it's maybe not the big disappointment?
It's disappointing, but you have to be realistic. A lot of people all are obsessed with win. You can't win everything, and if people can't deal with that, then you know maybe they should look somewhere else for their entertainment. That's what makes football exciting.
Yeah, Tom's 100% right. Like if you look at Celtic's season, you would probably say they had a very good season. The Champions League as well was a good campaign for them. They've won the double. It was just a disappointment of the fact that I think in recent games going by, Celtic, you were talking about, went into Pretoria with a reserve team and beat them comfortably. I think because of Brendan Rodgers' record at Hampden Park, because Celtic, they know how to win trophies there. I think everyone concerned in green and white just thought they were going to turn up, and it was a given. And at times it looked that way. At 1-0, I kept saying it. I didn't see Aberdeen getting back in it. It wasn't like they were chapping at the door and putting a lot of pressure on Celtic's back four. But they needed a slice of luck, and they got it. And to be fair to them, even in extra time, they threw their bodies on the line. They knew that if they could get to penalty kicks, they had a great chance of winning the cup. And it worked out perfectly for them. I agree with Tom. I think Celtic fans are disappointed. But if you look at it overall, I think Celtic have had a really good season.
Because Tom doesn't feel this way. But for some supporters, because of the high standards, such high standards that Celtic have set over the years, the lows can sometimes feel really low when you're not used to,
well, we
to
were,
losing.
We were on the show, and we were doing the show for Hampden and Andrew. And the scattergun that came out right after the game, the manager got it. Some of the players certainly got it. Celtic fans phoned in were certainly not happy with the performance and everything that went with it. It was one of those days that it was just an off day. You look to that Celtic squad and it's full of talent from the back to the middle of the pitch to the wide areas. But they just didn't click on the day. It was as simple as that. They got into the lead just before half-time. You're thinking, right, that's it. They've opened the door. They're just going to go in and win this comfortably. The only thing I'd be saying, I was a bit surprised Brendan Rodgers making the three substitutions as quickly. Right after, it was something like 5-10 minutes, right after half-time. I thought that weakened Celtic rather than made them stronger. I don't know what was going through his head at that time. And as I said, Aberdeen made substitutions, and I thought their substitutions worked out better than what Celtic's did.
Tom, did that game tell you anything you maybe didn't know before about Celtic squad depth or any of the individual players going into the summer and next season?
Well no, in a sense. As I said earlier, you can't win everything, and it's unreasonable to expect to win everything. I think they had a repeat what I said. I think they had a brilliant season. they'll maybe have an even better season next year. They might do the treble, they might not, who knows. But I congratulate Aberdeen. I think Aberdeen were fantastic. They never gave up. They pushed and pushed and pushed in the way that I've seen Celtic do in previous years. Never give in, never give up. And that's what Aberdeen did. And congratulations to them.
What do you think Brendan Rodgers will have learned about his squad from that game?
It's very difficult because we're basing this on one game, right? And it was disappointing for it if you were involved with Celtic. Of course it was, because they were bang on favourites to go and win a treble. They beat Aberdeen. They scored 6 against Aberdeen at Hampden and wiped the floor with them. They scored 5 at Pittodrie. They were on that sort of a wave that you were just thinking, it's just a matter of turning up and going and winning the treble. I think you'll learn that he needs stronger options. I didn't think Celtic, when they made the 3 substitutions... I like the fact that I was always waiting for Forrest to come on, because I think Kuhn on the right-hand side was offering absolutely nothing. And I thought, right, OK, he'll change it, he'll bring on Forrest. But he made 3 substitutions, and I don't think it strengthened Celtic. Right, now that could be a one-off, because many times we've sat and we've watched Celtic make substitutions and they go on to score 2-3 goals late in the game, and substitutions make a big impact. I don't think it worked at Hampden at the weekend for them. But I think if Brendan Rodgers sits back now and looks at the game overall, I think he'll be looking to strengthen in the summer.
Tom, I was listening to the show last night and Roger gave a good stat saying that across 2024, Celtic only lost 2 games in all competitions. You look to this point of 2025 and Celtic have already lost 7 games in all competitions. Is that a concern at all for you?
Not particularly. No, not particularly. As I say, it's difficult to win every game. There's some new people coming in. There's new blood coming in, young people coming in. They're going to give games away. They're going to lose games. That's the game. That's what makes football what it is. That's what makes it exciting, and that's why we watch it every weekend.
That's why it's so hard to win a treble. See, at the weekend, if that's a league game, you still say, right, OK, Celtic will go and win the league because they're a better team. But to win a treble, cup football shows you that anything can happen. I said it from Hampden at 2 o'clock. Aberdeen came with hope, Celtic came with confidence. And the only thing that was in Aberdeen's favour at the weekend was one for me. It was cup football. And we've seen the underdog doing it before. We spoke about down in England, Crystal Palace going and lifting the cup against Manchester City. We've seen it all. Tottenham, who could hardly win a game, goes and wins Europe against Manchester United. So cup football, and that's why it's so difficult to win trebles, because you don't know what's going to happen today. Nobody seen the mistake coming from Schmeichel. Nobody, because he's been a top-class signing, top-class goalkeeper since he came into the building. But he handed Aberdeen that lifeline right in a plate.
Do you think that result changes Brendan Rodgers' summer plans at all? Do you think he already had those in place and he doesn't, you know, change or deviate from what he was going to do previously?
No, I don't think he will. I think Brendan Rodgers will have thought everything out well before the Scottish Cup final. He'll know what his plans are. He'll know where he needs to strengthen. So I don't think he'll look at one individual game, and it is a cup game, and rip everything up by saying, well, that wasn't good enough. And he knows it wasn't good enough. Celtic were below par. They didn't play it the way they should have. But all credit to Aberdeen. I thought the manager got his tactics spot on. He changed his formation. He decided and he made his substitutions at the right time and started causing Celtic a little bit of problems. But once again, I'll keep saying it, you need a bit of luck, and they got it.
Tom, now that the action is over for the season, naturally people start to look forward to transfer windows and signings and that type of thing. What do you think Brendan Rodgers' priorities or top priorities should be over the next couple of months?
Well, I said a couple of weeks ago on the show, I think he needs a good central defender. I think Schmeichel was very unlucky. I think he's a brilliant goalkeeper, but goalkeepers are only ever criticised when they drop goals, aren't they? You can save 100 and drop one, and then they're the devil. But his priority, I think, should be a good central defender and a good striker. But he has a good, strong team. He's a good, strong team about him. And who knows who's coming through? I don't know who's coming through. I'd like to see some new blood, youngsters coming through. And we'll start again next year. That's what it's all about.
Central defence, is that...
Next,
Yeah, I think all Celtic fans will probably be looking at that area. Andrew, you had the toss up between Scales and Trusty. I liked Trusty when he was playing in Europe with Carter Vickers. I thought his Champions League campaign was very, very good. He looked solid. The two of them looked like a very good partnership. But he seems to be a little bit slacker in domestic football. Scales, you know what you're getting for him. Now, he comes in for a bit of criticism, Scales, from some sections of the Celtic support. So I think he would probably look at that position. He's got Tierney coming in. Now, who keeps it left back? Because he'll need backup for that as well. I think he's certainly got to look at the front areas. And I think he's got to strengthen in there. But I'm sure Brendan Rodgers will have targets in his mind. I think he now knows that he looks at, for instance, Hatate was a massive miss for him at the weekend. So he needs more quality. And I think he'll start to look at that and start to build another squad.
Would Brendan Rodgers have been hoping that the centre of defence wasn't an area he was having to improve going into next season when Celtic go out last summer and they spend $6 million on Austin Trusty? That's a bit of a statement of intent that he's going to be the man to come in, partner Cameron and Carter Vickers, and that will be Celtic's pairing throughout the season. But it hasn't quite worked out the way that maybe Brendan Rodgers would have planned.
Yeah, I think Brendan Rodgers would be disappointed. And it's a funny one because I touched on it. In the Champions League, I thought, Trusty had been playing very well. But he just seems to domestically, he's got that mistake in him. I don't know if it's the concentration, whatever it may be. Scales is, the fact that he played in the cup final. Of course, Scales for me is a decent centre-half. But Celtic fans, I think, will be looking to improve that area 100%. I think Brendan Rodgers will be as well.
Well, thank you to Tom. Any more thoughts on Saturday's Scottish Cup final? We want to hear from you. 01419511025. Rangers fans interested to hear your thoughts on any developments potentially in the managerial hunt. Of course, the takeover talk as well. That will be ramping up over the next few days. Maybe you're a Livingston fan or a Ross County fan and had your eyes on that huge game last night. What a game it was as well. We'll also be speaking to David Martindale live on the show a bit later on. But before all that, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Here's a surprise for you, Gordon DL. Beat the Pundit is here for the summer. You thought it was done. Yeah. You thought your season was over. You thought you could put your feet up. That's not happening. And because you're in that seat and there's no other pundit next to you, you're guaranteed to play tonight. So at this time, this is your public service announcement at home. The time of Beat the Pundit is going to change for the next few weeks. It's going to be at around 20 past six. That's when you need to phone in if you want to pit your wits against Gordon DL tonight or any of the other pundits. All you need to do is phone us 0141 951 1025. Now get your call in during the next ad break and you can be up against Gordon DL.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The football may be over for the season, but we will be here with you all summer from 6 until 7 to take your calls. There is always plenty going on. We just had Tom, a Celtic fan, on there talking about the Scottish Cup final. Of course, Aberdeen beating Celtic on penalties on Saturday. We want to hear from you Rangers fans about what's happening with the managerial appointment. When is it going to happen? We saw today that Rangers have announced 23rd of June is when the squad is going to get back together for pre-season training, but no manager in place yet. Maybe you're a Livingston fan or a Ross County fan that wants to talk about the promotion game last night. We will speak to David Martindale live on the show a bit later on, but it's time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yeah, Beat the Pundit is staying for the summer this time round. You're not feeling it, Gordon DL?
No, I totally switched off because my last few Beat the Pundits didn't end very well for me, so I thought, right, okay.
Treat this as pre-season though for next season. You can warm yourself up. Or maybe it's, you know how at the moment sort of big English Premier League teams go away off to Asia somewhere or America and go on a sort of post-season tour. That's what you're in at the moment.
This company could go burst with the amount of balls that I'm going to give out here.
I do fear that may be the case. And the thing is, you know now that if you are in that seat, whatever night you're in, are playing. Because there is no one next to you.
Correct.
So you are guaranteed to be playing. You're going to be up against Graham, who is a St Mirren fan from Anstruther. Graham, how are you feeling?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Have you played before?
No, I've not.
Are you nervous?
How do you fancy your chances?
Well, it's all right, because we know we're playing Gordon rather than getting drawn out the hat, so should have a chance, hopefully.
Oh, I think, Graham, you'll have a terrific chance. Not even a chance, a terrific chance.
Did you specifically phone in because you knew it was 100% guaranteed to be Gordon then?
Well, he seems a bit down in the dump, so if I beat him then fair enough, but if no, then at least it'll cheer him up.
It's good that you're giving it away to everyone at home that you're down. Are you feeling down in the dumps?
Nope,
all right?
I'm feeling good.
Everything okay at home? Nothing to air to the nation?
I'm looking forward. I'm going to St Andrews, my fellow colleague Mark Wilson, tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that wee trip.
Good stuff. Maybe you can have a winning start to your summer pre-season.
I hope I beat Graham. I really do.
Right, we will put. I was just about to flip the coin there. I'm so used to flipping the coin. Right, I will make sure there are some greatest hits radio in the ear of Gordon DL so he can't hear us, Graham. I know you'll have heard it before, but because you haven't played, 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well in case you feel you're running out of time and you're struggling. How does that sound?
Yeah, all good.
Right, let's go for it. What Swedish club did Jimmy Tillin manage before Aberdeen?
Elfsborg.
Clyde Bank have just been promoted to which league?
Lowland League.
How many Scottish Premiership clubs are currently without a manager?
Three.
Who was the last permanent Celtic manager to never have won a treble?
Ronnie Dyler.
Name any team Rangers will play at Ibrox in a pre-season friendly?
Middlesbrough.
Who was the Raith Rovers manager at the start of the season?
Ian Murray.
Alfie Dorrington was on loan at Aberdeen from which club?
Tottenham.
Right. Let's bring Gordon DL back in. Can you hear me okay?
I can. He's always good there.
I don't think your mood's going to improve here, Gordon. I think you'll be going up to St Andrews tomorrow with a salt in your face. You never know. You might be able to kick off this pre-season with a good result yourself. We'll see.
Let's go for
it. We'll see how it's going. Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Let's do it. What Swedish club did Jimmy Tillin manage before Aberdeen?
Elfsborg.
Clyde Bank have been promoted to which league?
Premier League.
How many Scottish Premiership clubs are currently without a manager?
Three.
Who was the last permanent Celtic manager to never have won a treble?
Ronnie Dyler.
Who was the last permanent... Oh, sorry, name any team Rangers will play in Ibrox in a pre-season friendly.
Middlesbrough.
Who was the last Raith Rovers manager... who was the Raith Rovers manager at the start of the season?
At the start of this season?
Yep.
Pat, how did I not get that? Who was before Robson?
How do you think that went, Graham?
I think I've done all right because he's let himself down with the Raith Rovers one in particular.
Did you get that one?
I did.
Okay, he's giving it away.
Who was the last before
Paris? We'll get to that, don't worry. What Swedish club did Jimmy Tillin manage before Aberdeen? Good knowledge from both of you because you both went Elfsborg. So you started at 1-1. Clyde Bank have just been promoted to which league? You said the Premier League?
The Junior Premier League, I don't know.
The Lowland League. That's what they've been promoted to. And they beat Musselburgh yesterday. So they are at the weekend, so they are in the Lowland League. Graham got it. So it goes 2-1 to Graham. How many Scottish Premiership clubs are currently without a manager?
Three.
You both said three. So it goes 3-2. Who was the last permanent manager for Celtic to never have won a treble? You both got that as well. 4-3. High scoring. Name any team Rangers will play at Ibrox in a friendly in pre-season. You both said Middlesbrough.
It was Bruges.
5-4. Club Bruges is the other. This is where you let yourself down, Gordon. Who was the Raith Rovers manager at the start of the season? Any ideas?
Hold on. Oh my God, that's killing me.
This is poor from you.
Who was the Raith Rovers manager at the start of the season?
Ian Murray.
Oh, so he was.
Ian Murray. Graham got that. It goes 6-4. Alfie Dorrington was on loan to Aberdeen from which club? Graham got an extra question.
How did Graham get an extra question?
Because he was quick. He was getting them all right.
Did they get that as well?
Got it as well. You know what, Graham? You get 7 out of 7. Should we give Graham the chance to go for the 10?
100%.
Why not? Right, Graham, 3 questions to get the 10. I don't think we've got anything special to give Graham if he gets the 10. But you know what? It's the pride of doing it.
Go, Graham.
How many Scottish Cups have St Johnstone won?
2.
Correct. In what year was Helicopter Sunday?
2012.
It's 2005. So Graham got 8 out of 9. That was not bad. Not bad at all. A fantastic effort from Graham. What a start for the callers for summer. Beat the pundit pre-season. Not, well, to be fair, you actually did okay, Gordon. You did not too badly.
I did. Listen, Graham was bang on form. I'm not even worried about that. Yeah. I get beat by the better player tonight. There's no doubt. I was happy with my 4.
Yeah.
I cannot believe I didn't get Ian Murray.
You were never beating Graham. Congratulations to Graham. A signed ball will be on its way to you. I'm sure Gordon Dale will be giving out a few more of those as the summer goes on. Graham is the first recipient of those. Right, 01419511025 on the phones for anything that's on your mind, whether it is the Scottish Cup at the weekend, maybe Rangers fans you want to talk about the managerial situation. Of course, Livingston against Ross County in the playoffs last night. Motherwell signing a player today despite not having a manager is interesting as well. 01419511025. Let's speak to Robbie, who's a Rangers fan in Kilmarnock. How are you, Robbie?
Not too bad, guys. How are yourselves?
Good, thank you. Good. How are you feeling as a Rangers fan at the moment?
Just feel like it's dragging on a bit. Like, obviously, the chat with the owners is kind of in the background. That's kind of coming out. Looking at the betting, it's gone for Ancelotti 1 week, Gerrard the following. Also, Russell was in there for a wee while. He seems to be getting a Leicester job. Kind of between Ancelotti and Gerrard, obviously, Carlo's came out and said that Derby speak to a European club, but as you touched on earlier, we're less than a month away from pre-season with zero players brought in so far to replace the ones who have departed. It's just they need to act sharp, in my opinion, to replace these guys, or we're going to be left in the same scenario as last season, chasing Celtic.
Is that just a concern with every passing day that there's no news, Robbie?
I think it's a huge concern. Also, it's been the failing for a while with Americans taking over. Surely they've had a manager lined up, ready to start when Barry finished, but that doesn't seem the case. It seems as if they're dragging us out.
Who would you prefer, Robbie? Robbie, who would you prefer out of those two if it was Ancelotti and Gerrard?
I would prefer Gerrard. I know a lot of people are going about this 1-9, and that is a concern, the lack of trophies we've won, but I think it won the most important title that we've competed for, probably stopping 10 in a row. And I just think with Ancelotti, is there going to be the language barrier? I know a lot of people are saying about that he's never had a managerial job. Gerrard never had that before he came in. He kind of proved us wrong a bit. But I think we're not in a position to take any chances or gambles.
Is that it? Is it a step on into the unknown, really, Robbie, that worries you about Ancelotti?
In a sense, but we probably had that with Gerrard as well. But I think Gerrard being a world-class player and attracting people to the club probably through his name, are we going to get that through Ancelotti?
See, it just depends what way the Rangers board's going to go. What is it they're looking for? They're looking for a strong character, someone that's got to lead from the front, or they're looking for a coach that's going to come in like Ancelotti. Now, look at the players that he's worked with as well. And you just wonder if they're looking for a coach to go and improve the players. You look at what happened across the city when Brendan Rodgers come back in. Matt Riley all of a sudden went to a £25 million player. You know, he's improved a lot of players at Celtic. You just wonder if Rangers are starting to look at that, because I don't see Steven Gerrard being that type of manager, because it was well documented when he was here before that Michael Beale was the guy that done all the training. So you just wonder what way Rangers are going to go. Me personally, I know it's a massive gamble giving someone a job that's never worked at that level, in management level, right? But I just think, I look at this guy and he's got to have something, Andrew. You cannot have jobs, and I know people will say, well, his father was a manager. It doesn't matter. When you're dealing with that quality of a player, if you ain't good at your job in coaching, you're going to be found out very, very quickly, and it doesn't matter who your father is at all. So I think he must have something. He must have a real good pedigree in that. Can he attract players? Because he's worked in different countries. He's worked with top, top players as well. So it would be interesting to see what way they were going to go. If they want a strong leader, if they want a figure to stand there in the dugout, you know, that's got the reputation, then Steven Gerrard's certainly your man. But if they want to go down another road with the coach having to go and meet the players better and improve the tactics, everything like this, they might just go down this road with this guy.
Do you see where Robbie's coming from in terms of concern at there just not being a manager in place with less than a month to go until the players get back for pre-season?
Yeah, I totally get it. And I think all Rangers fans will be sitting every day looking for something, some announcement, something to go and happen. This has been going on for weeks and weeks and weeks. You've got to give the manager, I know the argument was with Postecoglou come in, he came in later on and he still went on and hit the ground running. But I think Rangers are in a situation where they really need to rebuild. They need to get in, they need to get their squad right. They've got to, the new manager's got to put over his ideas, get his own players in, get his own backroom staff in. There's a lot of work to be done, and I think Rangers should be at least within the next few days to, not more than a week, have somebody in that building.
What about Russell Martin, Robbie? Because there's still suggestions that he may be having further talks this week with Rangers hierarchy and is still an option.
No, for me personally, I just think his style of football, I think he's more suited to maybe the Championship in England. I don't think he's going to be that man, that imposing figure on the team that can lead us and drag us closer to Celtic. But I suppose you never know. We probably need to give guys less a chance. We've went with the likes of Warburton than that before, gave them a chance. I'll be in the lower leagues, but past couple of seasons going through Clermont and that, it's not worked. Their style of football is suited to European football. They maybe need a good British manager in that knows British players, get him in. I don't know. I'm lost, to be honest.
Do you think quite a few Rangers fans' ears will have perked up at Carlo Ancelotti's quotes last night, Gordon, just saying that Davide Ancelotti is not travelled with him to Brazil, mm-hmm. because that was a suggestion that he was maybe going to go over and he was going to help with the friendlies in mid-June that Brazil have, and if he was going to join Rangers then that might be quite disruptive to preparations. Well, it would be disruptive to preparations not being able to come in and do the job straight away. Well, is that more preferable now if he's not going to be part of, you know, his dad's coaching staff for those two games mid-June?
Yeah, you just wonder what's going on behind the scenes, Andrew. It seems to be that, you know, as Robbie said there about Russell Martin, Gerrard and obviously Ancelotti, they were the three that seemed to be getting mentioned all the time. You just wonder if there's a curveball in there somewhere. We've seen it before. You know, you look at the three favourites sort of thing. I know that people are now looking at Russell Martin talking about Leicester or whatever he may be. Now, his style of football in the Premier League, he never changed it and it didn't work for him, and that's the reason he lost his job. But in the Championship, he played some great football.
Is that style better suited to a Rangers who are expected to dominate every game rather than a Southampton who are coming up against teams that have much better players?
100%. 100%. So I'm not going to rule any of those three out, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a curveball somewhere that someone just comes from out of nowhere that Rangers have been talking to, because that sometimes happens in football. When you think it's going to be A, B or C, it usually doesn't work out that way. Because I think that if that was a strong case, surely they would be in the building just now. Rangers would probably have the preferred choice. If it was A3, surely one of them would be getting announced within the next couple of days.
Well, thank you to Robbie. Keep your calls coming on 01419511025. And after the break, we will be speaking live to David Martindale after sealing promotion with Livingston last night.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and it's time to reflect on that big Premiership promotion relegation playoff last night between Livingston and Ross County. What a game it was. 4-2 to Livingston in the end. A fantastic performance by them, and I'm delighted to say we are joined by manager David Martindale on the phone at the moment. David, how are you?
Yeah, a wee bit tired, but yeah, delighted for everybody attached to the football club.
It's great to have the chance to speak to you. Just how do you reflect on last night after having a bit of time now?
I think the players have got to take huge credit, and the staff at the football club, to be honest. They went through a real period of adversity last season. It was difficult, but a group of players stayed in the building, a group of players came into the building this summer, and I think they've got to take a massive amount of credit for doing so. They've been from day one, they've kind of worked really hard and applied themselves properly, and I feel they've got their just rewards now.
David Gordon Dell here, congratulations, my friend.
Cheers, Gordon.
Brilliant, brilliant, absolutely great. I'll tell you what, you're talking there about your players. You must have been so proud of them last night. You go 2-0 down, you're away from home in a very important game. They showed some brilliant character.
Yeah, I feel I was sitting outside there and it was 2-0 down. I'm going, how did we find ourselves 2-0 down here? Because I actually thought we kind of gifted them a goal, but I felt we were playing the better football, created the better entries. So I kind of knew if we could get the next goal, we would still have a good chance. There was plenty of time in the game, and it was. Wee Smithy came up with a great finish for to take it back to 2-1. And at half time, I'd spoke to the players about it. I thought, if we go and get the next goal, we'll win. It applied a lot of pressure onto Ross County, because I think over the two legs, I generally felt we were the better team.
That mentality that players showed last night, just how important has that been all season long to get yourselves into the position, you know, second and into the playoffs and then work your way through there?
I think if you look at last season, I think through adversity you build resilience, you become robust, and I think the staff and the players that were here last year have kind of, they set the tone, they set the culture at the football club, and the new players coming in this season have bought into that, and I think they deserve massive credit for that, because there was a good balance, there was a good mix, and they've went on. I think we lost 6 games of football in the league this season. That's all we lost, and we still finished second in the league.
Am I right in saying you had to cut your own celebration short last night because you had the joiners in?
No. I think you're getting the full story here. I was up early this morning because we had the floor layers in at the football club in the changing room, so I had to get in to let them in to show them what they were doing.
I'm assuming the players had a good night last night.
Aye, the boys were on the bus. They were in fine fettle. They had the mic out in the bus doing karaoke, but a few of them got actually dropped off at Edinburgh Airport because they had flights at 6 in the morning, so I think they'll still be partying as we speak.
David, just looking, obviously you know what it takes to stay in the Premier League. You achieved that many a time. Just looking at your squad now, is it going to be the majority that's going to go with you next year, or is it maybe a sort of a, you know, horses for courses type thing?
No, I think there's probably 50% in contract, and then there's probably another 3-4 players I'd like to try and keep at the club if they can that are not in contract. And we then probably, Gordon, need to bring in around probably 8 players, 10 players, something along the lines. But we definitely need to add to the group. There's the one thing about the Premiership, it's ever demanding. It's a lot more demanding than the Championship. We kind of went through the Championship probably utilising 17, 18 players, something along the lines. I don't think you can get away with that in the Premiership.
How different a Livingston team should people expect this season? Because people may have their preconceptions about a David Martindale side and Livingston sides from the past, but the style has obviously changed and you've made a concerted effort to do that. How different do you feel your team will be in the top flight next season?
Well, I know I'm not going to change so how I've been approaching games this season, but what I would say to that has been previous years in the Premiership where kind of we've just been stigmatised by a certain style of play, but I think games sometimes force you into a certain style of play. It's not what you're setting out to play, but this year we've had a year's coaching in terms of a certain style, a certain system and how we want to play, and we'll be looking to take that on into the Premiership, but it's an ever demanding league. It's grueling, so there is times you've got to adjust. You're going to be to some big clubs, big stadiums, and sometimes you've got an idea of how you want to play, but it's not always as easy to kind of implement that during the game.
Well, thanks for taking the time to speak to us once again. Congratulations, David.
No bother.
Well thank done, David. Much. Enjoy cheers, your summer cheers, break, mate.
Cheers. Thank you. Bye bye. Bye bye.
He's earned it, hasn't he?
He's a character. That's one thing about him. He does everything at that club. He's built that club from years gone by. You hear him there. He's in the morning letting the joiners in, making sure everything's okay. He's a massive part of Livingston. And I was delighted for him because he's one of the football's good guys. And he works very, very hard at it. Sometimes I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. Because you hear them there, it is difficult, especially if you're at Livingston. Try to attract players as well, the quality you want. So I think that obviously next year they'll come in there. You hear him there. He's not going to change his style. He's got some good players in the building already, and he's already talking about maybe another 8-9 players to come into that squad. And he's right, because you need a big squad throughout the season, especially in the Premier League.
On the other side of it, when it comes to Ross County, did it feel like their time maybe was going to come? Because they've obviously been circling the drain for a while, and the playoffs 3 years running, did it just feel like it was going to be a step too far this year? But there's also the flip side that they were 2-0 up, and that is a big lead to throw away.
I've got to be honest with you, when I seen when the game was at Livingston, and Livingston, Davey was right, I think over a piece, over the two games, I think Livingston were a better side, without a shadow of doubt. But they got a lifeline, Ross County, through at Livingston when they got that goal, 1-1. They're going up there. They're at their home patch. They're the favourites. Of course they are. They've been playing the Premier League all year. Livingston's had a couple of more games to play in the lead-up. And then they go 2-0 up. And you would be thinking to yourself, well, that's probably this tie done. We're going to stay in the Premier League again if you're based with Ross County. David said there, he had great belief in his players, and the minute they get back to 2-1, and he said if we could get the next goal, there's only one winner, and that's the way it turned out for him.
Yeah, big win for Livingston last night. They are promoted, Ross County relegated. Another story I wanted to touch on today is a signing for Motherwell. Quite interesting that Lucas Fadinger, who is an Austrian midfielder, very much looks like a Michael Vimmer type signing, doesn't he? Michael Vimmer is now gone. What do you make of that today?
I'm quite surprised, but we don't know how advanced that signing was, Andrew. Maybe Motherwell had committed to it. Maybe it is, you know, a player that Motherwell are desperate to get in the building. It does look like it's the manager signing. Of course it does. It all adds up. But I think Motherwell may just have been committed to the signing, committed to the player. And to be fair, if that is the case, then they've went about their business the right way.
They're another team, along with Rangers, along with Dundee, that fans will be hoping they get a move on with the managerial hunt.
Yeah, listen, all fans that are out there, you look at Partick Thistle in the Championship as well, they'll be desperate to know who their manager's got to be. Rangers certainly will. I think that you'll hear news in the next week or so with all these clubs, because you've got to give the new manager, head coach, whoever it is, got to give them a head start.
Well, that is all we've got time for tonight, but don't worry, we'll be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. There will be so much to talk about. It will still be the fallout from the Scottish Cup final. Rangers fans, maybe there could be developments when it comes to your manager hunt. The same for Motherwell, the same for Dundee. Can you believe this as well? The Premier Sports Cup group stage draw is tomorrow for the new season.
Yeah, you don't get any rest at all. Not even in Beat the Pundit. That's my first loss of the season.
So we'll already be looking ahead to next season. I will be in the hot seat again. It'll be Marvin Bartley with me. We'll see if he can fare better at Beat the Pundit than Gordon DL did tonight. But thank you very much for tuning in tonight. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for your tweets. Thank you to Gordon DL as well. It's Callum Gallagher who's up next.